When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I have a special announcement for you today. This year marks the 25th anniversary of Slate, and for a limited time only, we're offering our annual Slate Plus membership at $25 off. As a member, you'll get no ads on any of our podcasts, unlimited reading on the Slate site, and member-exclusive episodes and segments from us and other shows like Slow Burn, Amicus, and Political Gabfest. For the past quarter century, Slate podcasts have been covering all the major news events, from elections to social issues to historic court decisions. Our culture shows have debated if things are sexist, named the best summer songs, and explained the latest TikTok trends. If we've become part of your listening routines, we ask that you support our work by joining Slate Plus. Sign up for Slate Plus at slate.com/momanddadplus to keep us going for another 25 years. Again, we're giving you $25 off an annual membership through October 31st. So sign up now at slate.com/momanddadplus. Just to give you a heads up, one of us is bound to say something not suitable for little ears. Welcome to Mom and Dad Are Fighting, Slate's parenting podcast for Thursday, October 28th, the Temperamental Toddler Edition. I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. I write the homeschool and family travel blog, Dutch Dutch Goose. I'm the mom to three littles, Henry, who's 9, Oliver, who's 7, and Teddy, who's 5. We live in Colorado Springs, Colorado.
I'm Jamila Lemieux, a writer, contributor to Slate's Care and Feeding Parenting column, and mom to Naima, who is 8.5, and we live in Los Angeles.
And I am Zach Rosen. I am the host of The Best Advice Show, a very short, 3 times a week advice show, and I live in Detroit with my family. I have a daughter, Noah, who's 4, and Ami is 1.
We are so excited that you're going to be hanging out with us for a bit.
Welcome.
It's such an honor, seriously. Thank you for having me.
Well, on today's show, we have a question about a toddler who makes up her own rules in gymnastics class. Her mom is wondering if she should continue with lessons or call it quits. Then we'll advise a listener who's trying to plan for some holiday travel with her 2-year-old and wondering how to keep her little one entertained and masked up while in transit. On Slate Plus, we're playing a round of hot takes, so you'll definitely want to stick around for our spicy parenting opinions. But first, we want to share with you an update from one of our letter writers.
So a few weeks ago, we answered a letter about a child that was struggling with her behavior at school. The mom was beside herself and wondered if taking away swimming lessons would be the best way to compel some better behavior. She writes, "First of all, I did not withhold swimming lessons. Also, I agree with many people's opinions that this was not behavior to be punished, but to be investigated and to fix the root cause. I did reach out to my son's teachers, of course, and asked for the counselor to observe and evaluate the situation. His teacher this year and his teachers from last year all agreed that he was acting very normal and they weren't seeing aggressive or violent behavior. All in all, it seemed that the problems were stemming from the after-school care. After speaking with the principal and a few other changes, like a different student in the class is now gone, my boy's behavior has improved dramatically. Ultimately, I think the after-school program was short-staffed. My son was picking up behaviors from other students, and the start of the school year is always tumultuous. Since talking with everyone on campus, I haven't had a bad report in 3 weeks. I appreciate that so many people want to give feedback, and it makes me love this community even more." Well, thank you so much for the update, letter writer. We are very glad to hear that things are going well. It sounds like Elizabeth and I may have been correct in our advice, so that's always a good thing to hear. And we're happy that your little swimmer is doing much better.
Not that we keep track, but, you know.
No, no one's counting.
Well, all right. Now is the point of the show where we share a bit about our lives. So it's time for triumphs and fails. Jamila, do you have a triumph or fail for us this week?
Yesterday, when I dropped Naima off at school, she was huggy and clingy and a little sad. And I said, "Oh, it's okay, babe. Have a good day," you know, and like I left. And so when I picked her up, I said, "Well, how was your day? How was dance?" I don't see her until 7 o'clock in the evening on Mondays because she has dance class. And she says, "Well, I cried this morning." I said, "You did? when? And she said, when you dropped me off at school, I was crying. I said, what? Mm. And she said, yeah, I was crying until I went up the stairs. And so basically, I missed her crying as I was dropping her off and just left as if she was fine. Like, okay, girl, we'll have a good day, because I couldn't see because of the mask. I didn't know. Obviously, it was not a deep sobbing, you know, heaving cry. But I said, well, how long did you cry? And she was like, well, until I got to the top of stairs. And she walks like 5 stairs to get away from me. So this was not a long cry, but it was enough that at 7 o'clock in the evening when she saw me, it was the first thing on her mind. And she said, I just have to ask, if you'd known I was crying, what would you have done? And I said, well, I would have stayed until you stopped crying. Duh, I'm indulgent. This is what I do. So I think she felt better knowing that had I realized she was crying, I would not have just been like, okay, have a good day at school and walked away. But I feel like a crappy mom for doing that.
But you saved it at the end there.
Yeah, you made up for it for sure.
I hope so. She did seem content with that answer.
In your defense, like, there's so much traffic in the morning. Plus the mask. There's a lot going on. So for you to have missed, you know, some subtle tiny tears from, you know, several feet away, it's not crazy, Jamila.
I needed some theater, you know, like,
yeah, for sure.
You got to give me a show. I would have stuck around. I didn't have anywhere to go.
So you should have said, it's really that you weren't crying enough.
Right. You got to really cry for
more
me.
Dramatic. Yeah, I would never have missed that. I know, though, that feeling, though, of like, how, you know, you're so close. Like, how could you miss that and still just, like, send her off? And then was she, like, worried about that all day and thinking about it? I totally get that. But yeah. I feel like you recovered.
It's really sweet that you revisited it. And she wanted to talk some more about it. And that she kind of believed you, because you were serious when you said, had you known, it would have been different. So she trusts you.
That is true. She's very good at talking about her feelings, too. That's something I really appreciate about Naima.
So there's the triumph.
Yeah,
there it is.
I think Zach's right that, like, not only that, but, like, you're the kind of mom she can talk to, you know?
Mm-hmm.
See? It's all wins here. All right. Zach, do you have a triumph or fail for us?
I mean, I could pick from many fails because they're constant. But I'm going to start my short tenure here with a triumph that I'm really excited about. Noah, my daughter, my 4-year-old, watches me cook a lot and doesn't help me much. But last week she asked for a knife, a kid's knife, and I was so excited about it. And so we went online and picked out a pink knife, because pink and her are synonymous. And they came in the mail like a couple days later. And I thought that there was a chance that, like, it was just that impulsive, like, oh, I just want something and I won't be interested in it later. But they came in the mail and she's making salads. She's helping to make her lunch now. She's actually cooking alongside me. She's cutting cucumbers. She's cutting fruit, and she's, like, significantly more engaged in the kitchen right now, like a surprising amount. And I'm so excited by it because I love to cook, and it's really sweet to have that hobby to share with her. So we'll see if it sticks, but for now it's really exciting.
I also love how much fun tedious things are at that age, like washing dishes, chopping vegetables, like the least fun part of fun things. They're like, oh, this, the thing I can't do, I want it.
Yes. Yeah.
I know, getting your own sous chef, right? Like, she's learning a skill and you have someone to prep the salad now. Could be your job.
The great thing about these kids' knives is they really aren't so sharp where it'll be difficult for her to do some real damage. Like, I would be a mess if I, you know, gave her a real knife, because she's not ready for that.
Oh, yeah.
So I recommend those knives.
You know, because even once you start using the sharper knives, like, the confidence is so important, too, because you can do much more damage if you're not very confident or you don't know where your hands go. So this is a great learning thing. I love that. Plus some daddy-daughter time in the kitchen.
Yeah.
I think that's great. Well, I am also going to claim a triumph. We had kind of a big week at the beginning of the week. My parents were here. And then Henry, who has autoimmune encephalitis, started his IVIG, which the new course is sort of, he has to get these infusions every few weeks for the next 6 months. And it's been this, like, big thing that's on our calendar. that we've been kind of prepping him for and the anxiety, and that went great. And then we decided to have our homeschool friends over for like a pumpkin, like fun with pumpkins. And my friend Michaela brought over some of her like parents' old golf clubs. And we set up on the yard like these big hula hoops, and we gave them the little tiny pumpkins, and we let them all hit them with like golf clubs, like putt them all around. It was awesome. Like we also played, we played a bunch of games. We balanced them on our head and we tossed them to each other. But the golf was the clear winner. It was awesome. I was a little worried at first, like everyone would be swinging so hard we'd hit each other, because there were six kids in a kind of small lawn. But it was just so great, and they had the best time. Now I am positive come spring I'm going to have pumpkin plants all over in my lawn, because at the end, of course, they all get smashed. Like eventually you just hit them and they crack open. But that was part of the fun. They were joking that the golf balls were like splitting in half, because, you know, once you're a little pumpkin, then you have two you can hit in. But it was just like such a nice, fun experience and a fun way to kind of play with pumpkins. So I highly recommend that. Even if you're looking for something to do with all those mini gourds after Halloween, I recommend a game of pumpkin golf.
Some great catharsis, smashing pumpkins.
Yeah, adults should get in on it too.
Yeah, sounds great.
I love it.
This podcast is sponsored by Ramp. Are you the decision maker in your company? Consider this. For the first time in decades, there's a better option for a corporate card and spend management platform. Meet Ramp, the only corporate card and spend management system designed to help you spend less money so you can make more. Most corporate credit cards offer points as incentives, but those points amount to less than their worth in real cash value. Ramp's business cards offer you cash back, real money in your pocket. Plus, you control who spends what with each vendor. And Ramp's software collects and verifies receipts automatically, which means you'll stop wasteful spending and close your books in hours instead of days. Businesses that use Ramp add up to 5% to their bottom line the first year. If you're a decision maker, adding Ramp could be one of the best decisions you've ever made. And now get $250 when you join Ramp for free. Just go to ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy. ramp.com/easy.
Cards issued by Sutton Bank and Celtic Bank, members of FDIC. Terms and conditions apply.
Talking about money can be so hard, especially when the person you're talking to is still learning how to do long division. That's why Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace, is here to help. I'm Bridget, and with my fellow co-host Ryan, we help teach your little ones about complex topics like bankruptcy, climate change, and why there's so much gold at Fort Knox, and so much more. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Well, we are going to get on to our first listener question.
Dear Mom and Dad, I have a fun and active 2.5-year-old who I recently enrolled in toddler gymnastics class. It seems like a good choice because she's constantly doing gymnastics around the house. But in the 4 sessions we've had, she's reliably done 2 activities and has mostly refused to do every other activity with the class. It doesn't seem to be the actual activity she's refusing. Instead, it's being asked to do the activity at the same time as the rest of the class. For instance, yesterday, while the rest of the class was practicing somersaults, my daughter was swinging from a bar. A few minutes later, when the class moved on to the bars, she refused to participate despite happily doing it on her own just minutes before. Her refusal is full of pouting, crossing her arms, stomping her feet, flopping herself on the mats, etc. My toddler is definitely strong-willed, and she's 2, so no is a big part of her vocabulary. But this dramatic refusal is just not common for her. I attend the class with her, so I know there's no conflict with the other kids or the teacher. My daughter also attends preschool 2 mornings a week, so she's not unfamiliar with routines and rules and taking turns. And the school reports nothing like what I'm seeing at gymnastics. She says she likes gymnastics and seems to enjoy the activities on her own terms, but I'm struggling to understand this dramatic refusal to participate in something she otherwise seems to enjoy. She's pretty verbal, but not enough that she's been able to explain what's going on in class. Any suggestions or ideas before I just pull the plug? Sincerely, tired of toddler gymnastics.
Zach, do you want to give this first question a go?
Yes, I've been waiting for this moment nervously. Okay, so first of all, I know people say this when giving advice, like, you're not alone, but listener, like, truly, you are not alone. I went through the same thing with my daughter when she wasn't quite 4 in soccer. So this is very I think it's very common. And 2.5 is very young. When we were doing this with soccer, we took my daughter. She expressed interest. We kind of got her buy-in ahead of time. Yes, I want to do this. But then once we got there, she was literally the only one not participating. And I had a sinking feeling like, oh my gosh, is she antisocial? Like, what's going on? Why isn't she gleefully running after the instructor like all the other kids? And this went on for a couple weeks. I wasn't putting much pressure on her. Because again, our kids, your kid, my kid, they're very young. So if they're not participating at the time, I was thinking it's really not that big of a deal. One thing that helped was I went and spoke to one of the coaches and just said, like, because there's like 20 kids running around and they might not even notice that your kid isn't participating. So I just asked for a little TLC, extra TLC from one of the coaches. And they came and gave my daughter a little bit of one-on-one time, like less than 2 minutes. And that was enough for Noah to feel bonded and maybe a little bit more connected to the instructor. So that's one thing that you can try, like just ask for a little one-on-one, because I mean, I'm 37 and I still get really nervous in front of crowds, and especially when I'm doing something that I haven't done before. So that helps a lot. Find an ally. And then also, like, again, she's 2.5. Their attention spans are like not significant at all. So doing gymnastics at home is great. And like, if they don't get fundamental instruction, like at this age, I think it's fine. I don't know what your hopes and dreams are for them, but like, to me, it really isn't that big of a deal. And I was wondering, like, is there like a free play option at the gym where you can just go with her and let her do her somersaults without the kind of pressure of, okay, you have to go and, you know, do this activity that everyone else is doing? Like, can you just go and let her jump in the sponge pit and maybe watch some other kids for a while without that expectation, and then give her the option, okay, now, you know, for next semester, whatever you call it, maybe we'll try to go back in the class, and maybe she just wants to like mess around by herself, and I think that's fine.
Zach is, I think, 100% correct. You know, not only are you not alone, this is a baby. You know, like a two and a half year old doing anything is an accomplishment.
Yes, so, just getting them out of the house.
That it's not going poorly at school is great. That your little one is waiting until gymnastics to be difficult is a triumph, whether you realize it or not. you know, it could be, and I think Zach was kind of alluding to this, that by creating this structure around what was play before, this might not be fun for your child anymore, right? At this point, it used to be that I could just do these things and I can swing and I can tumble, and now I can only do it in this order and I can't do it when someone else is doing it. And that just might be a bit for them. They're still trying to understand all of this. Like, school and learning are still very new concepts. This is like completely developmentally appropriate. And I think it's just going to take time. I hope that your hopes and dreams are not of gymnastics for your child, or that you haven't decided already, like, oh yeah, this is little Gabby Douglas right here. That you're giving your baby time to play with this and it will get better, but it's not something to be taken too seriously just yet, because it is toddler gymnastics and isn't everything at 2.5 toddler gymnastics.
Yeah, your house is toddler gymnastics. I really like the idea of open gym, because I just really think that if your child's enjoying the activity, finding a way they can enjoy it and still have fun is such a good way to help them get that energy out. I do wonder if the problem you're seeing here versus preschool is because of your presence. And I don't mean that in any bad way, but my kids act entirely differently when I attend a class with them versus like when they go in and have to basically get someone else as the leader. So I don't know if this is like one of those mommy and me classes. If so, you could make some choices. Like, if your goal is that they participate in the class, then one of the things you can do is like go get them and enforce some rules. Like, we're going to wait, we're going to do somersaults, we're going to cheer on our friends, right? If that's what you want. If you're okay with spending the time and she's running around and the teacher is fine with that, then, you know, that's fine. I think in preschool, like, your child's preschool teacher has probably poured in so much time about the routine. Like it just feels like that's what preschool teachers do. They teach, this is the routine. The class is going to come do this. They gently guide people back in. And honestly, she probably expects this kind of behavior from all of the children in her class, that they will wander off and try something else, and encouraging them to come back to the group. So I don't think, like, just because you're seeing this in gymnastics, but your preschool teacher doesn't say this is happening, doesn't mean this doesn't happen. It doesn't mean it doesn't happen to other kids. I will say that one of the things I learned with homeschooling the kids is that, like, 90% of the battle is consistency. It's like kids are looking for those boundaries and knowing where they're allowed to stray, where they're not allowed to stray, all of that. So I think really think about, what do you want out of this class? Is this like my kids seem to love gymnastics. We need somewhere else to expend some energy. You know, if that's the case, like, and the teacher doesn't mind, who cares if she's running around? Like, if it's a good half an hour, whatever, of like activity and she comes home happy, then great. If your hope though was more of like, I want her to be in a class and learning to do these things, not necessarily learning to do the gymnastics, because again, she's 2.5. Mm-hmm. But if what you're hoping is that she learns, like, hey, we go to this class and you should participate, then I think what you have to do is be consistent. A lot of parents will say, like, my kid doesn't want to do this or is struggling to do these things, but then you see them like having fun. In a lot of those cases, I think it's that you're giving a lot of leniency in that way, and that you sort of have to reach this point where you're like, well, we go to this and this is what they do in the class and we're going to keep doing this. So I don't think it really, honestly, like, whether you want to pull the plug on gymnastics or not is up to you of what you want out of it. And I really hope, I think we've all expressed, like, your expectation at 2.5 should not be that this is training for the Olympics. It should be, I found a really fun way for my kid to maybe make some new friends, play with some new people, and be out getting some of that energy out. Right? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you guys think she should quit?
No.
No. But if she feels like she wants to, I think that's okay too. I don't think quitting now is indicative of like, oh no, I'm raising a quitter. But no, I don't think she needs to quit.
I don't know. Sometimes I feel like if you're paying for these things, you're like, why am I paying for this for them to run around when they could just run around? So I think then look for open gym. So I guess, letter writer, I feel like what needs to be adjusted here are your expectations for your, for your 2.5-year-old. Well, thank you so much for writing in, Tired of Toddler Gymnastics. Hopefully we helped, or at least now you have a new way to look at the situation. If you want to discuss your parenting dilemma, you can email us at momanddad@slate.com.
All over the country,
we need to improve reading in Wisconsin.
Schools are changing the way they teach reading.
I'm calling for a renewed focus on literacy.
We have gotten this wrong in New York and all across the nation.
And it's happening because of a podcast.
I think your podcast has changed my life.
And I'm going to share this podcast with everyone I meet.
Sold a Story investigates how teaching kids to read went wrong. New episodes of Sold a Story are available now.
All right, now on to our second listener question.
Dear Mom and Dad, fingers crossed we may be flying overseas to see family in early December, depending on the COVID situation, of course. And I'm most concerned about our soon-to-be 2-year-old, because obviously she won't be vaccinated by then. Currently, we're trying to get her to wear a mask more, and she'll last around 10 to 15 minutes before ripping it off, and honestly, she kind of prefers to chin strap it. Most advice for mask wearing seems to be focusing on older kids, so any ideas for my little one? A secondary non-COVID concern is entertainment. She's not really into movies or games on a device yet, which is great. So I was hoping to find a sort of Kong for babies, a Cryptex toy that would hold snacks, you know, like goldfish and fruit snacks, and keep her busy with problem solving. But I can't find anything like this, nor am I really able to DIY this, but I'd love something that had some buttons to push, or maybe a wheel to turn, and then pops out a little drawer. I realize that I could be very well worrying about something that could just not happen, but I'm trying to plan ahead. Ultimately, I know fellow travelers will also appreciate a non-COVID spreading, non-cranky 2-year-old. Thanks, Mom, missing family.
Jamila, did you travel a lot with Naima when she was little?
Not a lot, but we definitely, at that age, at least a few times a year, we made it back and forth to Chicago to see my family. And I think her first flight when she was like 9 months old. So we definitely started early. Grateful that we didn't have to think about COVID back then. So I'm very sympathetic that this is going to be a long flight with also the concerns over mask wearing. As far as that goes, I would suggest, one, I don't know if your child is seeing people in masks very often, like how much time they're spending outside of the house or in situations where people are masked, but like they need to see people masked up doing stuff, you know, like going to the mall or somewhere where you're going to see people that are in masks, that are not taking them off, that are, you know, so go somewhere, and you know where that is in your community, where most people will be properly masked and stay masked, and where they can maybe see some other children in masks, you know, maybe going up to a playground that's near a school where they can see small people in masks, even though they'll be older than your little one. I still think it's helpful for them to see kids doing this and recognize it as something that children also do. And talk about why we're wearing the mask. This is to keep us safe. So the same way you have or soon will figure out the conversation about, you know, not letting go of somebody's hand when you cross the street, there are things that we do to protect ourselves so we can be okay. And wearing a mask is one of those things that we have to do to be okay. The good thing about the flight and your child's age is that, one, there isn't necessarily the expectation that they'll be masked for the entire time. Two, you'll have snacks, which will come in incredibly handy, and water. So your child will have breaks from masking. And as far as keeping them occupied, I'm hoping that maybe Zach and Elizabeth, who have smaller ones, may have some better ideas. But I would suggest a busy board because I went for the devices. So that's what saved me on those early flights, was that we were able to watch it. But since you don't want to do that, you can purchase or create a busy board. I know they sell them on Etsy, and a number of, you know, specialty retailers have them now. You can also make one. There's a lot. I'm sure Elizabeth has 100 recipes for them. It can be a very cool DIY project in which you take a board of some sort or some sort of flat surface, and you add manipulatives, things that your kid can play with. So switches and bells, and you don't want to get stuff that's going to be annoying for people on a plane. So do think about, if this sound were triggered repeatedly, would it bother people? But something that has enough sensory things going on where your child can play and listen and have the gratification of something between their fingers and be occupied. I would also suggest that, considering that this is going to be an international trip, unless you are in a no screens, no way, no how ever sort of situation, which is fine, that you may want to reconsider. And I think you'd be really pleased with the amount of peace that a good educational, child appropriate film can provide. What do you all think?
The first thing I would say is get this kid COVID tested like 3 times that week. And so you know that they don't have COVID, which is going to put you at ease. And you could even make like a sign and hang it around their neck, or a shirt that says like, I just got a negative PCR test, so like, mind your own fucking business. Or something to the extent that might put... Because if I see a two-year-old on a flight that isn't wearing a mask, I might be a little uptight about it. But if I know that they don't have COVID, then it doesn't matter. So that's one strategy. The second thing, and I haven't tried this, but I know a lot of my friends have and swear by it. If you are going to do a night flight, which you could probably try to do, melatonin. Give them a gummy melatonin, and that might make them sleep. So that is a thing. Drug your child, but do it responsibly and consult with your doctor first. And then, yeah, as far as entertainment, yeah, my kids are addicted to screens. So, if we give that to them on the flight, that's a huge help. But if your kid isn't interested in screens, which is cool, I was thinking maybe get several tiny little toys and wrap them before you get on, and then like bribe your kid, wear a mask for a half hour, and you get a new gift every half hour.
Yeah.
And you know, it doesn't even matter what the gift is. Go to the dollar store, put a marble in it. But the gift itself is the pleasure for them. So just bring a bunch of pre-wrapped gifts and give them whatever snacks they want. That's our thing on planes. Like, as much TV as you want, as much whatever you want to eat. Like, just you know, it's survival. So do everything you can that is going to make your kid happy, sugar included. Though that might counteract the melatonin balance, so maybe not too much sugar. I don't know.
Or the melatonin first. I don't know. Yeah. I completely agree that the plane is survival. Like normal rules. We traveled a bunch with the kids when they're little. We're thinking about kind of how now to reinstate all those good skills we learned and probably lost. But I always considered it survival. Like the kids know our normal rules around the house do not apply when we're on the plane. I think for the mask, I love the idea of taking them around kids that are wearing them because peer pressure is like the ultimate teaching tool. I would also practice, right? Like wear them before dinner when you're setting the table and then like take them off. Wear them when you're playing blocks. Like make it part of the game so it's fun. I've also found that the littler ones, if you get the KN95s, they stick away from your face and they make disposable ones of those. Then they can't lick them too. But I do think that if your child kind of feels like it's touching their face and that's bothering them, the KN95s do sit kind of further away. And so you can still like be putting snacks in there and the kid can be moving their mouth and not sucking on the fabric. So maybe look into those, try a bunch of masks. I think the idea of a shirt is super funny, like just to copy your test results or something and put it on a shirt. Yeah. Hysterical. Entertaining on the plane. I did actually find a couple things that kind of what you were looking for, which is the plate, which is a spinning snack container, and similarly something called B Kids Snack Spinner. I have not used either of these. They did not exist at the time that I was traveling with little ones. We used a fishing tackle box and filled each little square with different types of snacks. It's a huge mess, but I kind of felt like, if they're quiet, that's all right. So I put all different kinds of snacks and let them kind of go crazy and pick stuff. But there are these two spinning snack containers that you can check out. The number one thing I had on my list is what Jamila suggested for this age, is like go onto Etsy and find someone to make you an awesome little board. They also have these covers for your tray table that I really liked when they were little. And that way you can smash stuff on it and you're not worried as much, you know, about germs and other things on there or making a huge mess. And then you just like rip the plastic and throw it away. I'm sure it's not very environmentally friendly, but it definitely made my flights a little easier. I also, for this age, love blue tape, that like painter's tape, because you can stick it on anything and it comes off. My kids would play with this for hours on the plane. You can tear it into little pieces and stick it to them. They can stick it all over the table, the windows, the everything, and then you just pull it all off when you're done. Sticker sets. And I, too, am going to make a plea that you just think about finding a good show, because you are also going to be tired. I've done a number of these long flights, and that what we really faced was that the kid was great as long as we were playing with the child, but Jeff and I were very tired. And when we got there, it's like when you land at your destination, that is when the stress is. Like now all of a sudden you got to get your luggage, you got to find your car, you got to do the passports. If both of you have not slept and you've entertained this child who inevitably will want to sleep like laying on you or with their feet up in your face, whatever. Having something, anything that you can hand over and just kind of be like passive parenting. We did this for a long time without letting them watch anything at home. So it was very much like these are airplane rules, and it did not open some kind of floodgate to media and everything at home. It was, there's so many great things out there. Like ask your friends what their kids are watching, but like my kids, and it seems like kids in general, kind of adore Bluey. Zach, I don't know if you have, like, what do your little ones watch?
We had a big time Mr. Rogers and Daniel Tiger phase, which I loved. Now, as you know, Noah's into cooking, and so she watches a ton of baking shows, Nailed It and Great British Bake Off and stuff. You know, Doc McStuffins, Fancy Nancy. They're nice.
Yeah, really.
There's some good stuff,
like,
in there.
Harmless stuff. They're nice. I think just give it a go is what I would say. But whatever keeps them entertained and happy. If you're a baby wearer, bring your carrier. That saves me so many times. You can't wear it during takeoff or landing, but you can hop up, stick them in it, bounce them to sleep, and then kind of leave it on while they sleep. And that also let me use my hands, right, to do different things, feed myself, all those kind of things. But I think the big thing is I think you being prepared, like wanting to be prepared, is lovely, and that will already make your trip easier. But I would just totally think of it as survival and relax whatever expectations yes. you have. Unlimited snacks, unlimited videos, oh, whatever they play with at home. That's the other thing. People always like think they need like special things for the airplane. Whatever you're playing with at home is the same thing they're going to want to play with during during the plane.
Yeah. Oh, just two more quick things. If they're interested in fashion and stuff, like get the masks that they're going to feel cool about. Mm-hmm. Like Noah loves unicorn masks and rainbow masks. Mm-hmm. So like even have, you know, involve them in picking out the masks. And oh, it's a treat now to wear the mask. That's one thing. And the second thing is you said you were looking for like a Kong, but for humans, just you could also just get them like a dog Kong and put and put snacks in it. I think that would be hilarious and that would keep you entertained.
The whole plane's going to be like, is that a dog Kong? They're going to be like, this is genius.
Yep.
Stick the blue tape over the ends of it. You know, the
yes,
snackle.
There you go. There. Full circle.
You're all set. Okay. Well, mom missing family, best of luck on your travels. Hopefully we've given you some good ideas. Maybe we've convinced you to hand over your iPhone. I don't know, but we'd love to know how it goes. We absolutely love updates. So keep us posted. To the rest of our listeners out there, please email us at momanddad@slate.com. All right. Now it's time to move on to recommendations. Jamila, will you kick us off?
I'm not usually a Popeyes girl, but can I tell you? Well, one, the chicken sandwich, which I'm sure was probably a recommendation when I first started on the show, because I think that was in the middle of like the chicken sandwich fiasco, is extremely good. I could only eat that from Popeyes forever and be happy. I think it has rendered everything else they make useless, even the biscuits. But right now they've got Hottie Sauce, and that is a special collaboration they have with Megan Thee Stallion, to whom I basically look up. And it's just really good sweet and spicy sauce. It's like they have a sweet and spicy sauce on a regular basis, but they somehow made it better and called it Hottie Sauce. I don't know how long it's going to be there, but I know it's a limited time only thing. And the Hottie Sauce on the chicken sandwich, along with a good portion of mayonnaise. I am a Black woman who loves mayonnaise. Mayonnaise is very good. All the jokes about white people and mayo are funny from time to time, but mayo is really delicious. And something about the mayo and the Hottie Sauce and the fried chicken, it is the perfect chicken sandwich. I am so obsessed with it. So go to Popeyes, get a chicken sandwich, and get some Hottie Sauce on it.
That sounds good.
Jamil, I feel like we need a listener to compile all of your food advice. Like, just like into a quick reference guide. So if someone's out there, I'm interested to like look up like, oh, I'm feeling like this. What has Jamila recommended in this family of what I'm feeling? Because your stuff is always so, you recommend stuff and then it's always so tasty. So
it's incredibly chaotic. It's like Popeyes and key lime pie and soup.
But it's something for every mood. That's what I'm saying. We need like a spiral bound book, and you could be like, oh, I need kind of like a sweet. What has she recommended in the sweet treat family?
I'd buy
where
that.
Where do I go get it? Or how do I make it? You know, I love it. I can't wait to give this a try. All right, Zach, your inaugural recommendation.
My recommendation goes out to all of my people in the Midwest or the East Coast where it's starting to get cold. If you have space in your yard, you should either dig a hole and make a fire pit, or you should buy an above ground fire pit. Because I don't know what your COVID rules are, but we're pretty much not hanging out with folks inside right now. So anything you can do to prolong the outdoor season, I think is a plus. So we have lots of bonfires so we can still hang out with people outside. And it's like, I love the smell of it. I love the ritual of chopping wood and making a fire and like going to sleep with my clothes kind of smelling like smoke. I just, it's like a very, you know, Michigan autumnal thing. I can't recommend it more. You'll feel, you know, like a wilderness person. If you haven't started your own fire before, it's very satisfying. And, you know, you'll keep warm. Roast marshmallows, really fun thing for the kids. Make a fire. Make fire.
I love this. I love a good fire. And I agree with you, like expanding, like how do we keep our outdoor time, you know, so we can see people like as long as possible.
Yep.
This is a lovely fall recommendation. Now, did you buy a fire pit, or are you majors?
Our friends who we bought our house from had made it themselves, so we just use it. But it's super easy. Just like dig a hole and line the circumference with bricks, and don't put it too close to your house.
There you go.
Yeah,
I love this. All right, I am recommending an app because we got to a point in Henry the 9-year-old's math where it was very clear that we had missed some like maybe basic geometry, and I was trying to find a way to like kind of make it fun and not have this be like a fight because we clearly needed some kind of review. But I found this app called Dragon Box Elements, and it's really great. Like the little kids can play it; they don't really understand what they're doing necessarily, but it has made, I think in like a week of playing this, all of a sudden the geometry he's doing in math, it's like things are kind of making sense just because it introduces like angles and circumference and different shape names, you know, equilateral, triangle, all of that through this game, and kind of continuously has you looking for how the radius of things equates to other shapes. I mean, it's just been a really great way to play with it. No arguing. It's like he asks to play this, and I feel like, check, he's learning geometry, and I didn't have to fight him for it. So I really recommend the app Dragon Box Elements.
How did you find this?
Oh gosh, through my, you know, homeschool, the many webs of homeschool moms who are smarter than me and have tried all of this. So I like to find apps. Like I I'm not completely dependent on the computer, but with three kids, it's so nice to like send one off to do something on the computer and they think they're getting like free time and I'm checking off the
totally
math box.
Yeah, that's great.
So yeah, they have apps for younger kids too. They have one for number sense. I haven't played any of those. They actually have one for algebra that I want to look at introducing some of those concepts. It won't teach your kid how to do the geometry, but I just noticed how quickly it made up kind of that. We definitely miss some kind of foundation there about relation of angles and circles and all sorts of things. So clearly this is why we missed it. Because I clearly don't. I should play more of the game. Anyway, that's it for our show. So one last time, if you have a question for us, you can email us at momanddad@slate.com or of course post it to the Slate Parenting Facebook group. Just search for Slate Parenting. Mom and Dad Are Fighting is produced by Rosemary Belson. For Jamila Lemieux and Zach Rosen, I'm Elizabeth Newcamp. Thanks for listening.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.